Let's talk to B-Mac right now. First of all,
you're right. you were right.
Say that again.
You were right about the Steelers in the run game and all the mm-hmm. stuff that happened in the Chargers game, all right? I got to own it. I mean, they shut the Chargers down. Hell, they put Herbert out
again. Knocked Herbert out, busted up his leg, man.
So you're right. You're right.
All right, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is Falcons Saints. Mike and I have been talking about it all week. Give us your opinions on what the Saints are coming in here with. Are they the team we saw in weeks 1 and 2? Or are they the team we saw in week 3 against the Eagles that lost at home?
Wow, great question. Mm-hmm. Great question. The best way I can answer that, guys, is that I believe the Saints, they're a good team. Now, do I expect to see the heavy production that we saw in weeks 1 and 2 against Carolina? Very, very bad team. Against the Cowboys, run defense has been atrocious as well. Do I expect to see that same production throughout the rest of the year? No. But they're a playoff-caliber team, guys. They're a playoff-caliber team, so they're a good team. Now, for the Saints, how will this offense look without Eric McCoy in the lineup moving forward for some weeks now? He was a very, very important piece to their entire offense. You know, one of the top centers in the game, the communication that he displays week in and week out when it comes to picking up run fits and blitz concepts. You know, I consider centers to be like the catcher to a pitcher in baseball. Right. They're very, very important to the quarterback. So let's see how this offensive line handles, you know, life without Eric McCoy. But, yeah, they're a good team. They're a really good team, a playoff-caliber team, and this is a high-level matchup in the National Football League this weekend. When you look at both teams, you know, coming off a loss, both teams have really improved, in my opinion. I think both teams could easily win their division.
Last game of the season last year, Bryant, they lit us up, man. Chris Olave, I mean, they got some good wide receivers, man. Maybe unless you're not a fantasy football fan and you know these guys, maybe not household names, but they do the work, and we need to get heat. How important would it be getting pressure? We're the second worst in the NFL right now as far as sacks.
It's super important, and to that point, that's a great stat, by the way, Mike. But to that point, the Falcons' defense has still been a really good team. Mm-hmm. They play what I call, you know, elbow defense. They bend, but they don't break, especially in the red zone, in the red area. So the sacks will come. They will come. But even if you don't get sacks, the pressures are just as important sometimes, because now you're forcing the quarterback to throw when he's not prepared to throw, or when the wide receiver isn't open. So those things kind of work hand in hand when you talk about sacks, when you talk about pressures. But for the Falcons defensively playing against this Saints team, number one, first down is very, very important. You got to win first down. You got to find a way to get the Saints offensively in second and long situations, which will be in your benefit. And number two, anytime the Saints get in these condensed formations, they're taking a shot. It's usually a two-man route with Olave, Shaheed, and they're taking shots down the football field. Usually it's a high-low concept where you got a deep dig coming on one side, followed by a deep post opposite, and they're taking shots. And that has been their calling card in the first 3 weeks of the season based on how they orchestrated their points. When they get an opportunity to take shots, they usually take shots, and it comes from condensed formations. So when you see that Atlanta, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, those guys are well prepared. They study film extremely well. They're going to be in position to make plays. And if they're able to do so, I mean, Falcon fans will be smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, Derek Carr will throw it to you now. He threw us pick six last year to Bates. I mean, Bates, you know, they laughed after the game because I think he knew, like, hey, I knew exactly where you were going. To your point about the film study and being prepared, Saints-Falcons, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Let's talk about some of these other games as we go around the NFL with Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion. He does a great podcast called All Things Covered. He was a corner, get it, with Patrick Peterson and a CBS NFL analyst. All right, as we look at some of these other big games on Sunday, you start to look at some of these games and you go, all right, well, maybe. I want to jump to the Bills-Ravens Sunday night. Josh Allen is playing his best football, man. I feel that way. And Ravens come off of a big win where they showed, hey, we can show up in a big spot against Dallas on the road, but they get the Bills at home. Is this the Bills coming in here going 4-0 against the Ravens?
I think so, guys. I really think so. And to your point, Josh Allen is playing. He is the best player in the NFL right now in 3 weeks of play. And the talent, the athleticism has always been there. the one Achilles heel for Josh Allen has been what? Sloppiness with the football,
yeah, turnovers.
He has gotten that out of his game. Now, you can't really criticize him for anything right now because he's doing everything right. And think about this. Even without Matt Milano in the lineup, arguably their best defensive player, they haven't missed the beat defensively. They've done a great job on all three levels of their defense, and they're playing against a team that just got their first win against the Dallas Cowboys. But you saw a lapse in production in the second half, in the fourth quarter, against Dallas, what made that game extremely tight. So I like Buffalo in this spot because Buffalo has been playing the best football, and as a total team, they've been well-balanced and they've been the most consistent.
We were talking a lot this week, came up in the conversation after the Jaguars just looked awful in one of those doubleheader Monday night games. Speaking of Buffalo, we were saying when you look at the numbers, he's basically comped with Daniel Jones almost to the percentage point. Is Trevor Lawrence one of the biggest busts as far as that contract they just gave him and what he's giving you on the field?
You know what? I don't want to say bust, Mike. I don't want to say bust. But one of the bigger disappointments in the National Football League this season, yes, and you can tie that with the Jacksonville Jaguars as an entire team as well. But you remember when they gave him that contract, and I came on with you guys and I said the quarterback position is one of the more overvalued position in all professional sports in our country, right? And you look at Trevor Lawrence, remember, they didn't necessarily have to pay him when they did.
Nope.
But they gave him a record-breaking deal, topping, what, $55 million per year.
Yep.
And you look at his numbers since being in the NFL, it doesn't warrant that type of contract, but the market is what the market is. But also, too, guys, when you give a player that type of money, your expectations, they rise. They rise. Deserving so. So now you're supposed to play up to that level. And it's hard to make that a reality when you didn't play up until that level before the contract. Mm. So they have dropped the ball in mismanaging that entire situation financially because you gave him a deal, okay, cool. But now you're expecting him to go out and play like one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. No. Right now he's in the same neighborhood as Daniel Jones. And the thing about Daniel Jones can run.
Right.
He's athletic. He's a physical runner. I mean, Trevor Lawrence right now, he's not throwing well. He's not trying to run. He's not doing anything significant for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I can tell you this much, it's not going to get any easier Sunday because they got to go to Houston, who's coming off a loss to Minnesota. So they're looking at 0-4. Really, the reality of 0-4 could really become a thing after Sunday, and if that's the case, I don't want to say the season is over.
It's over.
But the likelihood of them getting into the postseason is not likely when you're 0-4.
Yeah, I think Peterson gets fired.
I was gonna say, yeah.
The season's over. I'm with you on this. And by the way, the Texans got humiliated, by the way. That wasn't just a loss. They got humiliated by the Vikings. It is Brian McFadden. If you were a player and your coach came out publicly and said, a bunch of y'all made business decisions, how would that go over with you? Because that's what the Raiders are facing as the Browns come in this weekend.
I mean, you got to watch the tape, and hopefully you weren't one of those businessmen that was making business decisions out there. The tape don't lie. I know you guys have seen potential examples of what he referenced during that presser that looked like a business decision.
Antonio Pierce is who we're talking about, guys. That's the coach of the Raiders.
Antonio Pierce, former player, played linebacker for the Giants, you know, a physical guy when he played. So, you know, he expects a certain standard to be reached there, and it didn't reach. And that was one of the more bigger upsets last week when you talk about Carolina making the quarterback change with Andy Dalton, went into Vegas and just manhandled the Raiders for four quarters on both sides of the football field. And that was a Raider team that just came off of beating the Baltimore Ravens to retire. So that was a disappointing outing for them. And now they get Cleveland coming right back into their building, another team that is kind of spiraling in the wrong direction. So Antonio Pierce is trying to wake up his guys, and he wants them to understand you always got to keep your foot on the gas. Every week in the National Football League is about proving yourself, proving your worth. Resumes means nothing in the National Football League. And clearly they were kind of feeling themselves after beating the Ravens and kind of got caught sleeping at the wheel against Carolina and got that, as I like to say, that raccoon eye.
Yep.
They got that black eye. And let's see, can they get it right this week against Cleveland?
Hey, man, 49ers are 1-2. They'll probably get it done this week against the Patriots for obvious reasons, but are they dead in the water big picture without Christian McCaffrey as far as the Super Bowl?
You know what? I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. I'll say that. But they can get into the playoffs. Now, for them to get into the playoffs, they got to get healthy. You know, you got to get Deebo Samuel back in the lineup. You got to get George Kittle back in the lineup. You know, defensively get some of your guys back in the lineup as well. Well, they will be missing Javon Hargrave, their best interior defensive lineman for the rest of the season. But that team is still good enough to get into the playoffs. But, Carl, Mike, when you talk about Super Bowl aspirations and that was the mindset for that team, they will not get there without Christian McCaffrey.